Our podcast is produced by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. For more than 20 years, helping people look forward to their retirement years with confidence. And if you get a chance to rate our podcast on your provider, we'd appreciate you taking the time to do that. And now, today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. This is our Tuesday, February 7th, 2017 edition of Invest Talk. And as always, our goal is to help you become an above average investor and reduce or eliminate the costly missteps that are made by the average investor. And usually that's made by using emotion and making rash decisions. And the number one mistake made by investors is to invest without a plan. Now, if you don't have a plan, you are destined to kind of wander the landscape of investment options, wasting precious time and making decisions that usually don't serve your ultimate goal because you don't have the eye on the prize, which is whatever that goal is, right? And you don't have a direction to point the ship in, right? Think of your portfolio or your total asset base as a ship guiding you towards your goals. And the assets that you have in it, like the crew on the ship, continuing to work to push you towards those goals. And you need to have a balance, right, of people who know how to keep the ship moving forward and in the right direction, keeping the crew fed, you know, all the aspects of moving that ship in the right direction. And if you don't know which way you're going, then you don't really have a sense of how you should make up that crew, right? If you don't have a goal of the time you want to get there and the actual destination, then you're really going to be wandering and you may get there. You know, the seas might push you towards a general direction, but the odds are you're going to be left behind. Now, the first item of that plan is to establish your goals and objectives, decide what you're trying to accomplish. Now, for most people, it's not just accumulating wealth to see you through retirement. There are other items along the way. Maybe paying for your children's college. Maybe it's caring for aging parents. Right? And maybe it's to retire early. Maybe it is to retire early before you're 60. Then there are risks that you have to understand. What is relevant to you and your portfolio? How much risk are you willing and able to take? You know, if you're 30 years old, saving for retirement, volatility usually isn't that big of a deal. You know, you have time to ride it out. On the other hand, inflation can kind of erode any long-term portfolio. It can create a long-term portfolio risk. Inflation can, if inflation grows faster than your portfolio. So that can be a significant risk. So that's a bigger risk than maybe volatility. But if you're closer to retirement, maybe it flips the other way because odds are the inflation over the short term isn't going to pick up, but volatility could, and that could affect your ability to retire. Now, every good plan has a way to measure your success. Right, just like a ship, you have a map, you have a compass to figure out, well, am I on the right track? Am I measuring the right things to make sure I'm getting to my destination, the correct destination at the proper time? You can call them benchmarks. So how will you measure the success of your portfolio? It's an is it an asset class, individual funds or managers that you're benchmarking them against? For a lot of people, they'll use the S&P. Well, sometimes the S&P isn't the right metric because maybe you're taking less risk than the S&P and therefore you should expect less return and vice versa. Maybe you're ramping up the risk in your portfolio and you're only getting the return that you get out of the S&P. And you're actually, it might look like you're doing well, but in reality, risk adjusted, you're, you know, not doing so hot. So ultimate percentage returns on any investment isn't the only factor that you consider. Now, that's when you get into things like asset allocation. What portion of your total portfolio will you allocate to? U.S. stocks, international stocks, U.S. bonds, high-yield bonds, foreign bonds, commodities. You know, your asset allocation should accomplish your goals while addressing the relevant risks. So you want to take the appropriate risk to get to your goals. And we talk about this all the time with clients as well, is there might be people who are very risk accepting, meaning they can handle a lot of risk, but they have so much money and they live modestly that they don't need to take a lot of risk. So there's no point in taking too much risk and jeopardizing their assets when they can take, you know, a moderate amount of risk, still get, you know, decent returns and achieve their goals at the same time. Then we talk about diversification, different asset classes. You know, should you be within each asset class? There are different kind of subsets, right? You have U.S. equities, but are you talking about large cap stocks, mid cap stocks, small cap stocks, value versus growth, core, etc.? Blend. Those are all factors as well. Now, as our friends at Investopedia.com point out, having a good plan and sticking to it is not nearly as exciting or as much fun as trying to time the market, but it's likely to be more profitable in the long term. You know, everyone's worried about, should I get out, should I get in? And it's certainly something you should think about as a ramping up the risk or lowering the risk in your portfolio to a degree, but it should never take you off track of your plan overall. All right. Now, do you have some? Do you need some help putting together a plan for yourself? Maybe you have a plan and you're trying to fit those other aspects of the overall goals, right, into the plan, like diversification, asset allocation, etc. So we can talk about it. We are live right now. 4 to 5 Pacific time. You can call, ask your question live, or you can always check in on our listener line. You can give us a call, 888-99-CHART, leave a message, and we will answer it on the next program, just like this caller did.
Hi, Steve. My name is Rui. I'm calling from New Jersey. I'm looking to invest in Mexico. I'm looking from, I don't know, stocks, ETFs. Can you help me out with that? Thank you. Bye.
Well, I mean, you're very broad, right? Mexico. There is an ETF. EWW is the ETF that you'd be looking at. And, you know, when you're investing in Mexico, certainly now with Trump as president, that you enter into a different type of risk, a lot of political risk that's happening right now, and the value of the Mexican peso is certainly something to consider that is going to affect the performance. Now, I'm not telling you to go buy EWW, but that is a way to get exposure to the Mexican equity market. So there's the question you had is very broad. There are different opportunities. Some are great. Some probably are going to be hurt by Trump's policies. Some maybe less so. If you want diversification, and most likely you do, you want instant diversification and a broad exposure to that market, then something like EWW would be under consideration. I'm sure there are others out there as well, but I'm not sure I know of any right off the top of my head. So hopefully that helps you out a little bit. Now, I'm financial advisor and licensed realtor Justin Klein. Are you too focused on the short term? If you're saving for retirement 30 years down the road, what the stock market does around the next corner this year or next shouldn't be a huge concern. You need to have a plan, like I said, at the top of the show, and execute it. So 888-99-CHART is how to get through to me right now. Give me a call. 888-99 chart, 888-992-4278. I urge you all to get your call in sooner rather than later. The show does go by pretty fast. Now, using some preset equations, robo-advisors can provide an investment plan that's meant to prepare you for the long term. So it's meant to do. But can robo-advisors really replace a good financial planner, a good financial advisor? We're going to discuss kind of the pros and cons of robo-advisors, and I think this will be a strong education for a lot out there, because certainly the likes of Betterment and some of the other robo-advisors that are out there have likely been on your radar to a degree, and I think they do have some place, and we're going to talk about what that place is and where the drawbacks will lie and how a financial advisor can actually get you a lot further in certain instances. So we're going to discuss that. I also want to touch on the topic of lump sum payments versus monthly pension payments. We get this question a lot with clients. They're retiring from their job and they have two options. They either take a lump sum dollar amount or they get a payout of X amount per month for the rest of their life. Sometimes, you know, including their spouse as well. But those are their two options. And I'll give you a hint. It typically is better to take the lump sum, but we're going to talk about the pros and cons of each option. And if you are thinking about that or are going to have to think about that over the coming years, I think this will be a good education for you. And if not, odds are you probably will at some point, or maybe a family member, maybe your spouse will have to come across this situation, because companies are changing the way they do pensions these days, and if it's something I think we all should be discussing. And then a quick update on consumer credit decelerated in December. I'm going to touch on that economic news. And then inflation. Is inflation picking up? And I'm going to give you a couple instances why it looks like it's picking up from various parts various data points around the economy. And then I was going to get to a question yesterday from Philip. Hopefully I can get to it today as well. So that's what's on my mind. That's what I want to talk about. But ultimately, it's up to you. I want to know what's on your mind. What are you thinking about? How's your plan shaping up? Do you have a plan? Can I help you develop a plan? What goals are on the horizon that you need to prepare for? And hopefully I can start to turn that ship in the right direction. So give me a call. 888-99-CHART is our number. You can get through 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to ask your question. Let's take a look at the market today. We had the Dow was up about 38 points, and the S&P was flat, up about a half a point. The NASDAQ was up 10. We were down at some point during the day, and we had a small rally to end the day. We started much, much higher on the S&P and kind of waned throughout the day. We had some news or earnings, a lot of earnings announcements after the bell from the likes of Disney. That wasn't so hot. There were a few other ones that did okay. But overall, it was kind of a negative day for earnings after the bell. And oil was down really, really big after a huge build in inventories. And I think that will be interesting to see how those stocks react tomorrow. Now, this is Invest Talk. Remember, we're not all about stocks and bonds. We're about books, too. Benjamin Graham's classic, The Intelligent Investor. It's good enough for Warren Buffett. It's probably good for everyone to take a look at as well. You can take a look at that list right there on investtalk.com. And if you got a question, give us a call. 888-99-CHART is how to reach me right now.
Hi, Justin and Steve. This is Steven. I'm a podcast listener from Syracuse, New York. I am a shareholder of Berkshire Hathaway. I would like your opinion on the future of the company. Do you believe the company can prosper without Warren Buffett? Do you think driverless cars will eventually hurt GEICO profits? Thank you. I look forward to hearing your answer.
I think the answer to both of those would be yes. I think the company can prosper without Warren Buffett. While he's a very smart man and a very good investor, he's not the only one out there, and he has a team of employees and leaders within the organization that think very similar to the way he does. He has other quote unquote investors, I guess, within Berkshire Hathaway that have made large purchases with Berkshire Hathaway assets that have done very well. So I think long term, they can still do well without Warren Buffett. So that I'm not too worried about. Now, what I would be more worried about, yes, is Geico, because it is a large portion of their business, and it is also a great source of capital for them to invest their money, right? Great source of capital to, and when I talk about source of capital, I'm talking about premiums from Geico that come in and they invest that money, and they do it at a probably a better than average clip compared to a lot of insurance companies, and that allows them to make better than average returns from the Geico unit and overall for Berkshire Hathaway. So I do think that it has been a competitive advantage for a long time. And I also think that eventually there will be driverless cars that reduce the profits for Geico, but they could always diversify into other areas, right? Geico, you can buy Geico home insurance and other types of insurance. So sure, car insurance is a big portion of their business, but it's not the only thing they can do. So a long term, I think you'll be fine. There's not too much to worry about, I don't think, from a long-term perspective. But the Geico thing and driverless cars does worry me some. So just like anything, good asset to have in your portfolio, but I wouldn't put more than 3% of your total portfolio in Berkshire or, you know, almost any company. So the answer is yes and yes. They both worry me, and they can succeed long term. 888-99-CHARTER is our number. 888-992-4278 is how you get through and ask your question on today's show. Now, why robo-advisors can really never replace traditional financial planners. Now, there's been a lot of buzz about robo-advisors lately, and you know, these are companies that aim to help investors put their assets to work in the market on behalf of the help of algorithms, really. They typically use a preset equation based on certain assumptions about you, like your age and risk tolerance, etc. And they hope to provide you a plan that's meant to prepare you for the long term with low fees. And I think that robo-advisors have their place for beginner investors who are kind of just starting out and getting their feet wet. And it will help beginning investors get a sense of what a good portfolio looks like, right? How to diversify it, what asset classes to look at, what types of assets, thinking of ETFs usually or mutual funds. Usually these robo-advisors aren't putting you in stocks, right? They're using investment products, which are ETFs typically. The problem is that holistic financial planning takes a lot more than that. It's about the bigger picture and bigger picture topics like defining goals, like I talked about at the top of the show, determining how much you should be saving to meet those goals, and choosing which types of accounts to use. These are all bigger picture questions that need to be answered. And robo-advisors, they can't really sit down with you and get into the details of your life and your goals and your assets, whether you should use a tax-deferred account or a tax-free account. Your insurance needs, the whole investing puzzle and planning puzzle takes a lot more than just a basic equation. And investing is just one piece of the puzzle. So people need to take all the pieces of the puzzle and implement a complete financial plan that includes addressing many things outside of investing, as well as inside. So robo-advisors are really no match for a human who can really look at your situation on an individual basis and help create a holistic plan. Then when it comes, and that's just kind of thinking broadly. And then thinking more specifically on the investment side, it'll be very interesting to see how these robo-advisors react when the markets decline like they did in 2008. They weren't really around then, right? And managing investor behavior, avoiding the mistakes of the past, which is typically buy low, buy high and sell low. And the robo-advisors just index, and everyone's over-indexing. I've talked about this before. It's very similar to me than as the Nifty 50 in the late 60s that created a really bad bear market in the early 70s because everybody was crowded into the same trade, and I think that's exactly what's going to happen in the next recession. And that's why I think robo-advisors have their place, but they are not a cure-all by any means. Now we're heading into the part two of our Tuesday edition of Invest Talk. Plenty of time to get your question in. Our direct line, as always, live 4 to 5 Pacific time, is 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast will continue next. Good reason number four for getting together with Steve for a portfolio checkup.
One of the things I don't think enough people are considering are dividends.
Dividends. They can be the hidden value in a stock. The question is, how can I maximize my return and not be fooled by dividend-paying stocks with no future?
Don't have to be stocks. They could be oil trusts. They could be master limited partners. It could be REITs. At some point, you have to say, you know what? I need to earn a little bit more money.
Steve can help you reorganize your retirement portfolio. And if you'd like, a KPP financial program that fits your goals and life situations today. Schedule your one-to-one, one-hour checkup with Steve via Skype or telephone or in person in California. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab and then Portfolio Review. Or call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. On our next Invest Talk, the longer you wait, the bigger your monthly check. But there are other factors you'll want to consider. When to take Social Security sooner rather than later. That's one of our topics next time, but there's still plenty of time for your topic today. 888-99-CHART. Check in right now.
Hi, this is John. I'm a loyal podcast listener. Thank you very much for the show. I've learned a lot in listening to you. I have a question for Steve. It is about symbol OXM, Oxford Industries. Looking at it to buy it, would it be something you would recommend? And then secondly, if somebody could buy it, somebody like me could buy it in a ESPP for 15% discount, would that change your recommendation? This would be a small portion of my portfolio, so it's not a game changer, but just curious. Thank you, and have a great day.
Well, first off, 15% discounts on any equity makes it a little more attractive than it normally would. So let's take a look at Oxford Industries. OXM is the symbol. They markets dress shirts, suits, jeans, footwear, sportswear, and accessories for men, women, and children. Let me look at kind of the long-term fundamentals of the company. It's a pretty modest grower, you know, good growth, but nothing spectacular. Certainly cyclical, so you're going to get some cyclicality of this name, and you've seen it drop from a high. What's this high? Looks around $90 a share or so, and now it's at $52.10. So it's been a big drop since middle of September 2015, and overall, the company looks pretty strong. You know, long-term return on equity tends to average about the mid-teens, which is pretty good. Return on invested capital also in the low teens, pretty solid. Modest amount of debt, I like that. It's already down a lot, and you're getting a 15% reduced cost as well. Yields about 2.1%. I like it. I kind of like it down here from a long-term perspective. I like the fact that long-term they have some showed consistency of profitability and growth and positive operating cash flow and free cash flow. Their dividend looks safe to me. Their payout ratio is only about 30%, which is pretty low. So room for that dividend yield to go up. Operating earnings yield 11.4%. you know, not going to grow or not a big grower from a profitability standpoint or a sales standpoint, but not a bad, it has okay growth. So for the price that it's at and its long-term sustainability of its business, it looks like it's pretty good. And I like the fact that it has a low amount of debt, only 13% debt to equity as well. So yes, I'm a fan of Oxford Industries. You know, I would give it maybe an 8 out of 10 overall. And with a 15% discount, you know, I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10. So I would definitely look to get that discount if that's available to you. So that was Oxford Industries. OXM is the symbol. Good long-term value play, I think. Now, lump sum payments or monthly pension. This is something that I think a lot of you are going to face, or somebody you know is going to have to face this decision. Why? Because we see this all the time with clients and new clients that come aboard as they're retiring, and they have to decide between a lump sum amount from the pension of their company they're retiring from or a monthly pension payment. And companies are facing mounting pension costs and greater volatility, so companies are increasingly offering their current and former employees a choice. It's one or the other. And they're offering these as a buyout as a way to shrink the size of future pension obligations. Okay, which they want to get this kind of off their balance sheet and over their head so they can stop worrying about it, because for years, this is something companies have been having to deal with. So from an employee's perspective, the decision comes down to a trade-off between an income stream or a pile of cash that's made available to you today. Now, your employer, what happens is your employer issues a notice that by a certain date, eligible employees must decide whether they exchange a monthly benefit payment in the future for a one-time lump sum payment. If you opt for the lump sum, you can roll that into a tax-deferred account, usually an IRA. So you usually not any tax consequences if you roll it into an IRA. If you don't, you take the lump sum, that can be counted as income. There can be huge tax problems. It's almost always better to just roll it into an IRA. I would say 98% of our clients that have received the lump sum roll it into an IRA, and then you can take distributions periodically as you please. Now, the process is relatively simple, but the decision of which option can be complex. It can. Now, option one is to keep the monthly payment, right? You get a set amount every month from your retirement date for the rest of your life. It's kind of like an annuity. Sometimes you also have the option to take a little bit less per month, and it passes on to your spouse as well if your spouse outlives you. That's something to consider too. Now, once you begin receiving these payments, your payment amount typically will not come with inflation protection, and that's an issue. Because over time, that amount is going to lose purchasing power. And if you use the annual inflation rate of 3% since 1926, this will cut the value of your benefit in half in just 24 years. So the $1,000 a month you might be getting today will look more like $500 a month in about 25 years. Okay? Now, taking your pension benefit as an annuity means your ability to collect your payment depends also in part on the strength of the company that's paying it. So if you're working or retiring from a company who may be obsolete in 10 years for whatever reason, that's something to consider. Right? Now there's the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, which will pay a portion of your benefit for you. But it may not be all of it. It may be only a portion of it, right? So that's not a situation you want to get into. You don't want to be retired, getting $2,000 a month, and then the company goes bankrupt and says, sorry, you know, now you're passed on to the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, and you only get $1,200 a month or $800 a month. There's complex math that goes into what you'd actually get, but you're probably not going to get the whole thing. So that's something you really need to consider. Okay. Now there's taking the lump sum payment. And usually that's the best option. And there's a few reasons why. It gives you flexibility, right? If you take up the pension, there's one thing you get. You get that payment. That's it. And then when you die, that's it. The payment's over, unless, you know, you've picked the option that goes to your spouse. But then once he or she passes away, it's gone too, right? So when you take the lump sum, you have a lot more flexibility. Now, the problem is you have to invest it for yourself, or you can hire somebody like us, you know, financial advisor, to manage that money. And we have different programs that are great for retirees for income that, you know, is very popular with our clients. But ultimately, you are responsible for making the funds last throughout retirement, right? There's not a guarantee behind it. Your investments are subject to potential market fluctuations based on what you invest in, which could increase or decrease the value of your assets, and ultimately the income that is generated from that. We talked about if you don't roll into an IRA, there can be tax penalties, something to consider as well. But you always want to just roll into an IRA. It's pretty simple. You can open up an IRA at any large brokerage firm. It's a pretty standard account these days. Now, making this choice can be difficult. And it depends on your personal circumstance. Now, guaranteed income is nice, especially if you add it in with Social Security, any other pensions that you might get, or fixed annuities that you might have. And if all those together add up to cover the cost of your expenses in retirement, which vary from person to person, from family to family, depending on what you do, right? Then it can make sense to just do the guaranteed payment. But if it doesn't, it's most likely better to take the lump sum, potentially get higher returns, and kind of make up that gap. Now, longevity comes into play as well. If you're somebody whose family lives a very long time, and you're likely to live to 95, 100, maybe even past that, maybe the pension will be better, because over the life of it, you know, you're gonna get those for a very long time. Now, if your health may not be as great, or maybe just average, then a lump sum is probably most likely. And also, if you want to pass this money on potentially to an heir, because what happens if, say, you take the pension and, you know, God forbid, in 5 years, you know, you die in a plane crash or whatever? Well, your heirs get nothing. You passed away, and, you know, that stream of payment is gone. So this is something you kind of have to talk out with a financial advisor. It's very important. Something Steve does all the time with his portfolio reviews, and it's something that you likely are going to have to face at some point, that decision. And if you need any help, you know, don't hesitate to set aside some time with Steve to discuss it. And segue into each month, Steve sets aside time with our listeners via Skype or telephone to look over their individual portfolios, or make this lump sum or pension stream decision. And he looks over retirement account documents and makes some recommendations on how to achieve the goals, how to point that ship in the right direction. So if you'd like to set up a time with him, just go to investtalk.com, click on the Invest Talk tab, and then portfolio review.
You may have heard us talking about My 401k, a 401k management program. Well, now it's called Active 401k. Active because it's a way to get your 401k active again. With Active 401k, your employer's retirement plan is maximized to fit your life situation. The system is actively assessing and calibrating your 401k choices in your employer's plan, and making timely recommendations that you can implement online, giving your 401k a regular tune-up. If you'd like to know more about it, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Investments tab.
Let's go to James in New York. How are you doing, James?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing great. What can I do for you?
I want to talk about the symbol O. Mm-hmm. It's a REIT, and I think it's a really solid REIT, and I've owned it for a couple of years. I've done extraordinarily well with it. I have plans to hold it, but I don't know if maybe there's a wise time to take profits at any point. I'd hate to, you know, if it's going to continue running up, I'll keep all of it, but I'd like to keep it, but I just don't know if there's any level where profit should be taken for a stock like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said you own it for a while, so you know, you're up on it, but you've taken a little bit of a hit, right? Late last year was trading around $72 a share, hit a low earlier this year around, let's see, about $53, and now it's about $60 a share. So it's rallied a little bit with the whole REIT industry. But what worries me is what I don't like about this is a few things. One is where it's concentrated. And there's different types of REITs, right, that invest in different types of real estate assets. Well, Realty is focused on retail. And to me, this is by far the riskiest place right now in the REIT industry. Would you agree with me?
I would think so.
Yeah, and you know,
I think I'd like to maybe find a REIT in the healthcare sector if I could, but I have had this for a couple of years, and
yeah,
it's done well. I don't know if time's up for it.
I honestly think it is. I don't think it's cheap at these levels. I actually think it's a little overvalued. I think it's in a sector that is in a secular decline with the rise of online shopping, and I only think that's going to continue. Now, I don't think retail space is going bye-bye forever, but I do think there are going to be a lot of bankruptcies in the next recession, and Realty Income has a lot of exposure to plenty of those retailers that are going to go bankrupt in the next recession. There are going to be a wave of bankruptcies in the next recession. That's certainly going to affect REITs that are focused in the retail space, and Realty Income's the largest one out there from what I remember. So I'm just not a fan of it, to be honest with you. I think you'll do much better longer term in another type of REIT, like a healthcare focused REIT, although, you know, there's some risk there as well, but I don't think nearly as big as something in the retail space. So for me, you know, you've already rallied a little bit. I think interest rates are probably going to continue to rise, so that'll be a headwind as well to REITs in general. And I don't think you're going to be a REIT that's really going to do very well in a rising rate environment is a REIT that's going to have pricing power and their types of properties they own. And I just don't think retail is going to be that area. And so I would be looking to sell some, if not all, of Realty Income and transition some of that exposure in the REIT space into another REIT, like you said, focused on healthcare.
Okay, sounds great.
All right, thanks for the call, James. That was Realty Income. The symbol is O. And if you have REIT exposure, this is something you need to consider. What type of real estate are they exposed to? Now, you're listening to Invest Talk. If you can't get near a phone or you'd like to ask a question directly after hours and outside of the 4 to 5 Pacific time frame, you can always go to investtalk.com, click on the Contact Justin or Contact Steve button, and we'll get back to you. And we'll answer the phones right now. Just give us a call at 888-99-CHART.
Hey, guys, love the show. Listen to it every day. Just wondering what you thought about the stock Hasbro, HAS. Heard it might be taking over Mattel, and it has a dominance on all the figures and action things coming up for Disney and everything this year. Has a good dividend payment also. Just had a great earnings report, shot up 14-15%. Is that a buy? Thanks. Look forward to hearing from you.
Was looking at Hasbro. This is one of the largest toy makers in the world, about a $12 billion market cap. Yields about 2.4%. They did have good earnings announcements, and they certainly have a lot of exposure to Disney, and Disney has some good momentum now with Star Wars and things like that. So they're doing well. Now, stock's up big, up about 15% today, which means it's 15% more expensive than it was yesterday. So it's certainly, I would say, less attractive than it was yesterday. But if you're looking at this from a long-term perspective, I do think Hasbro is a good company. It's shown it's done well and that's shown that it can produce above average profits. Now, it is not cheap at these levels, so I would wait till this comes back down and finds a maybe some support. Usually, these gaps tend to retrace themselves at some point, meaning back to where it started at the close yesterday, and that's probably where I would try to pick it up. But long term, you'll do fine whether you pick it up now or then. But understand that after these jumps, you're have increased risk of potential losses in the near term, and so definitely have it on your watch list. But understand if you buy it up here, you're buying it a little overvalued. And, you know, we're value investors. I like to buy things cheap, not expensive, although I want to buy great companies cheap, and Hasbro is definitely one of those very good companies everybody should have on their watch list. That was Hasbro. H-A-S is the symbol. Now, I want to get to a call, or not a call, an email that came in over the weekend, and it says, "Hello, Steve and Justin. I own VF Corporation, the maker of clothing, with brands like Timberland and North Face. Since September last year, the stock has gone on another decline. I do not find problems with margins, while sales are off by a small amount and debt is a bit above average. While the market has been strong lately, VF Corp, VFC is a symbol, doesn't seem to have profited by this upswing. Since the sell-off in the stock predates the fear of trade wars, I'm puzzled by the decline. Any thoughts? I listen to every podcast, so we'll listen there for the response. Phil." VF Corp, definitely one of the better apparel makers in the marketplace today. Very similar to Hasbro in the fact that they make very good, very strong, above average long-term returns, return on equity, return on invested capital, etc. Their debt, I think, is very manageable. I wouldn't say it's high at all. Maybe average. We'll say that. The debt to equity ratio is only 26%, so I'd say low. But you know, the sales have been kind of meandering, you know, up 1%, down 1%, flat, etc. Kind of all over the place over the last couple of years, but not really moving much to the upside or downside. Profits are down 5% in 2016, projected to be up 8% in 2017. Yields about 3.5%, and he's right. It has gone from a 52-week high of 67, and now it's at 48. And if you go back even further, it looks like the stock was as high as almost 80 middle of 2015. So it's down definitely significantly, about 40% from its high. But I like that to a degree. It means that it's cheap, and their profitability, like you said, doesn't look like it's chained. Let me look at net profits, net margins. You know, they're down a little bit from 2013, but they're up from 2014. So I don't see a big problem there. I like it. From a long-term perspective, this is starting to look attractive to me. And it's on my watch list. It's not quite there yet to me. It hasn't gotten to a level to where it's just a screaming buy. But I think from a long-term perspective, you'll do very well, VF Corp. And a nice 3.5% return. I actually have a good friend that is in product quality control there. And I know she's a rock star, and I think she's on the North Face side. Yeah, North Face part of the business, and they're up there. I think she's up in San Francisco, but they do very well. And so this is a great company to have in your watch list, and it's getting very close to great long-term values, but I don't know if it's quite there yet. I would look for a high volume reversal day for me to tell me the lows are in. Now, our time is up for this hour. Reminder that if you have a question about a financial product that's being pitched to you, like an annuity, which I've never heard anybody happy they bought, an insurance policy possibly, Steve has an extensive insurance background, or maybe a real estate decision. I have my real estate license as well. Don't hesitate to run it by me or Steve for a second opinion. Just click on the Contact Justin or Steve button on investtalk.com. I'm financial advisor Justin Klein, executive vice president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And on behalf of Steve Peasley and everyone at KPP, thank you for being with us. Let's get together again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.